as a major component. The deadline to apply to be the 2014 KBOO Artist in Residence is February 14th. More information on the Artist in Residence program, including eligibility, selection process, and the application, can be found at kboo.fm/AIR2014.
My first time ever on the radio was on KBOO about 10 years ago on the Soundbox with Dina B. And I've been doing radio ever since. I love KBOO.
KBOO is such a friendly, laid-back, fun environment. There's a lot of freedom here.
Boy, all I can say is that they just give me the complete freedom to play every single thing I feel like playing. And that's a rare thing in radio stations nowadays, and I sure appreciate it.
It's a passion of mine to investigate and to find and to share.
Come on down to the next volunteer orientation on Wednesday, January 8th from 7 to 9 p.m. here at the KBOO Studios at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Hello and welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO FM 90.7 here in Portland, Oregon. My name is Peter Pincel. I'll be your host for the evening, and I'm here tonight with Frank Thompson, a retired superintendent of Oregon State Penitentiary. He'll be speaking to us tonight a little bit about OADP, the organization he's on the board of, a little about himself, and a little bit about the death penalty these days.
How are you?
Frank, if you could please take a moment to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about where you're coming from.
Frank Thompson. I've been a resident of Oregon now for about 20 years, retired from corrections in the state of Arkansas, and have recently retired from corrections here in Oregon.
Okay, so you say you've been in corrections for about 25 years?
25, to law enforcement and correction for up to about 30 years.
Okay, perfect. And so tonight we'll be talking a little bit about the death penalty.
Right.
And especially as it relates to your organization, OADP, and a little bit about the event on January 20th that KBOO will actually be broadcasting from the Anthem Church, the Martin Luther King event. KBOO will be broadcasting from 11 to 7. But before we get into that, Frank, tell us a little bit more about your backstory. So you were with OSP for a number of years.
I came to Oregon and I assumed administration of the Oregon State Penitentiary. And I was there for about 3 years and went on to become assistant director for the correction system for institutions, and since that time been the superintendent for Columbia River Correctional Institution, Santa Ana Correctional Institution, and Mill Creek Correctional Facilities. During my tenure at the Oregon State Penitentiary, it became my responsibility to conduct, to work with a team of professionals to conduct the first two executions that had taken place in Oregon in over 34 years at that time. By today, it's been over 50 years. There have been two executions to have taken place over 50 years. And that was really the genesis of my wanting to become active eventually and seeing to it that the death penalty was repealed in the state of Oregon.
So you oversaw the only two executions here in the state of Oregon. What do you want us to know about that?
About my capacity in having overseen it? Well, prior to prior to having that responsibility, I had accepted the death penalty as being one of a number of public policies that was imperfect, and that over time our society would get better and better, or work at it as we had done with civil rights or women's suffrage or a number of public policies that had failed in the past but our country saw fit to correct. I had accepted the death penalty as being a part of my career with its imperfections, and not really questioning it too much. But when I was put in the position of having to train decent men and women on how to take the life of a human being in the name of a public policy that cannot be shown to work, I really had to come to grips with where I really stood on it. Now, over the years, I had seen a number of situations take place where I didn't really indict the death penalty. There were murders in civil rights movements where many people in my community felt that the perpetrators of those murders, that the death penalty would have been an appropriate sanction. The assassination of Martin Luther King, many in my community, including myself, felt that maybe the death penalty was an appropriate sanction for those kinds of acts. So it just sort of flowed with me naturally in law enforcement and corrections that the death penalty might have its place. But when I saw that all of its imperfections were not being worked upon or being improved, and nevertheless we were still promoting that kind of a public policy and taking the lives of poor people, disproportionately minorities, and the outcomes of the death penalty cannot be defended. It's a failed policy. I realized then that I had to let my staff know at least where I was coming from. But at the same time, I said that a society needs to have professionals who are able to do the difficult jobs, whether they believe in it or not, as long as they have the ability to speak out against it when they have an opportunity. So it was very early on, after I realized I was going to have to conduct these executions, I knew that when I retired, I was going to seize upon an opportunity to work with others who might be against the death penalty.
Okay, so you say that the death penalty is a failed policy. Can you give us some more exact examples of how it is so?
Well, more particularly, the United States Supreme Court, when it permitted states to reinstate the death penalty, it indicated that there were two areas that society had an interest in administering the death penalty. It indicated that deterrence and retribution. Well, on both fronts, the death penalty cannot be shown to be a working public policy. Of course, there are a number of victims who support the death penalty, and I support them and their advocacy. I understand it. I have had a sister who was killed as a result of a violent act, and I can identify with those emotions. But when I step back and look objectively, I'm realizing that there's a growing community of victims who are against the death penalty because they aren't satisfied that retribution is offered by the death penalty and that life without the possibility of parole is in fact retribution. In terms of deterrence, the National Information Center, which is regarded as probably the best source for unbiased investigations research, has done a comprehensive study on all of the data or studies supporting the death penalty. And it has concluded, and the study was done back in 2010, it has concluded that no public entity should rely on any of the studies supporting the death penalty in forming public policy. So two of the main reasons that the United States Supreme Court said that a community, society has an interest and supporting the death penalty have roundly been indicted by experience and by research. So those are particular reasons it's failed as a public policy.
So you mentioned that you oversaw two executions while in your tenure as a superintendent. How did that make you feel?
Oh, that's a daunting task, to say the least. I had professionals working with me. We had men and women who were for or against the death penalty, but they were professionals. We trained ourselves, and fortunately, here in Oregon, I'm not aware of a single person who has had the debilitating effect of having gone through that, as has been the case in many other states. And I think that's a couple of reasons. We trained and trained and trained until we even had staff to come to my office and say, Mr. Thompson, we've had enough training. You know, it's just getting to the place where it's just sort of, but that was good because and it sounds a bit calloused, but I wanted to be a part of a team that trained to the point where they were desensitized and could do their job without having to second guess their ability to carry through in the event something went wrong. And I'm proud to say I was proud to have been a part. Now, another thing that I think was important in our experiences is in those executions, the individuals that were involved, they asked to be executed. They volunteered their execution. It's another thing, and I can give you examples. It's another thing to execute an individual that's clawing their way into the execution room, declaring their innocence. It compounds the emotional atmosphere to carry through with an execution where you have people declaring their innocence. And we do, and the data that's out now with the number of people who've been let off death row gives us good reason to believe that capital punishment as it's currently administered has taken the life of innocent people. So your question to me more particularly is, how did that feel? We realized how serious and heavy a burden that the public had imposed upon us. And I don't think the public understands what they are requiring of innocent men and decent professional men and women to go in and take the life of a human being in the name of a policy that cannot be shown to work. I think it's very much the same of asking young men and women to go over and die in a war that you know is immoral and that cannot be won and it cannot be defended. So all of that weighed on us. It was nobody complained. And I'm so proud. Everybody understood what their jobs were, but it was a heavy responsibility.
Powerful. Thank you, Frank. So we're about to take a short break. Again, we're here with Frank Thompson, retired OSP superintendent, speaking with us about his feelings on the death penalty. And he'll be talking with us in a moment a little bit about an event that's going to be happening later this month for Martin Luther King Day. Stay tuned. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO. We're going to be doing a quick musical break. Stay tuned.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Hello and welcome. Welcome back. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM here in the Portland, Oregon area. I'm your host, Peter Pincel. I'm here tonight with Frank Thompson, retired superintendent of Oregon State Penitentiary. And he's talking to us a little bit about his feelings on the death penalty. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about what he's actually done recently. And then we're going to talk a little bit about an event that's going to be going on later this month. So, Frank, you mentioned before we went on musical break that you were waiting until retirement to advocate against the death penalty, although you felt the call much earlier on. What have you done since retiring several years ago?
I was approached by representatives. In fact, the chairperson of Oregon's for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, Ron Steiner. I was approached by him to join their efforts. And because I was a state employee, I did not want to go out and get involved in any soapboxing prior to retirement. But I told him that I was interested, and as soon as I retired, he and I had coffee, and the momentum picked up, and I've been actively involved with its efforts to repeal the death penalty since. And some of the things that I've also been involved in is I've been called to New Jersey to testify before the judiciaries in their consideration for repeal. Maryland, I apologize, it was Maryland, in their consideration for repeal of the death penalty, and they have subsequently repealed the death penalty. I testified before the judiciary in Colorado, and Governor Hickenlooper is his name, did as our governor, Kitzhaber, has done. He placed a moratorium on executions while he is still in office. I've testified before the judiciary here in the state of Oregon in the same regard. So those are some of the things. And Ron and the OADP has given me a number of opportunities to do as I'm doing now, speak before organizations and civic groups promoting the mission of OADP toward getting the death penalty repealed.
So you brought it back to home here, and you mentioned Governor Kitzhaber. Governor Kitzhaber made a fairly big decision on the death penalty recently. What are your thoughts on Gary Haugen's execution?
From my position, I really don't personalize the pros and cons of an individual case other than to say nobody should be executed in this country under a policy that is as flawed and as discriminatory, as perpetuated against the poor, risking the killing of innocent people, exorbitant, unjustifiable costs. That's where I'm coming from in promoting my repeal. I will offer this in response to the question that you just offered. Mr. Haugen is one of three people who've had a serious death in this state. All three of those individuals asked to be executed. That means Oregon does not have a death penalty, really. When you consider the fact that three people over the past 50 years have asked to be executed, two of them have been, where is the deterrence if people are asking the state to assist them in meeting their own demise? So Mr. Haugen is one of three individuals who is asking. I think the governor took a very bold step in furthering our cause to have the death penalty repealed. I certainly am glad that Mr. Haugen has not been executed, not based on any merits pro or con of his case, but because I'm an advocate for the broad repeal of the death penalty, regardless of who the individual is on death row in any state in this country.
Perfect. So you're on the board of OADP. Could you tell us a little bit more about that organization itself?
OADP is made up of a number of professionals, a number of individuals from different disciplines and different walks of life who have different strengths where they can contribute to making a well-rounded approach, a strategic approach toward promoting the repeal of the death penalty. And that's a fairly general description, but it's accurate. We've just had a strategy planning where we are moving toward getting a vote before the people in terms of repealing the death penalty. This coming week or two, we're going to be at Anthem Church, where we want to be making ourselves more visible to the public. And if I can just read a couple of sentences here about that event. The 29th anniversary at Anthem Church offers a tribute to Reverend King, and it's an opportunity to celebrate the doctor's legacy and gather together to live out his promise. Since the death penalty is so biased in its administration, OADP takes the opportunity to participate in the celebration by being a vendor at the Dream Village. And it is at this church we want to visit with people throughout the day and talk about what we do and ask them to become a part of this effort. So that's some of the things that OADP is involved in.
Absolutely. And so if you're interested in learning more about OADP and about the event on the 20th, of course, visit Anthem Church. There will be information about the address where you can visit and the times and such on our website, kbu.fm/prisonpipeline. And I believe just kbu.fm itself, because we will be broadcasting from there from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. For Martin Luther King Day. So just to touch on that note, is the overrepresentation of minorities in the justice system one thing that has led you to this stance?
Of course. Minorities, Hispanic, blacks, are disproportionately represented. It's part of the continuum of profiling. If you're arrested more frequently and you get poor representation in the courts, you're more likely to be convicted of a wide range of crimes. And depending on the jurisdictions you are in many cases, a certain set of acts may draw certain charges to a non-minority, whereas the minority will get the capital charge. And so there is discriminatory, disproportionate treatment to minorities in this system. And of course, it's a concern. I'm a minority, and it doesn't concern me simply because I'm a minority. If I were not a minority, that would be a concern, I think, any citizen. Because quite frankly, depending on what part of the country you're in, nowadays, with the demographics of this country changing as it is, it is entirely possible that anyone listening in might be a minority one day. So that's a principle about justice and equality and working hard to come up with a system and tweak the system or change the system where justice has a chance. And yeah, it bothers me.
So for a final question, I know that this evening a lot of our audience is actually incarcerated right now. Do you have a message to our audience?
They are there. You are there as a result of a process. People are to be held accountable for violating the laws of our society. And in large part, and significantly large part, our system works. Is our system perfect? No, it isn't. For those who may feel that the system has not worked effectively in their regards, keep the faith. In this day and time, there are a number of instances that shows that people are looking at our system. People are tweaking it, trying to make it more perfect And there are people being released from death row. There are people whose sentences are being overturned. And if you righteously are one of those individuals, keep the faith and keep working on your case. When I sit here to indict the death penalty, as Keith Sweat has said, don't get it twisted. I support our criminal justice system. I think it's one of the best criminal justice systems in the world. It's not perfect, and where it is imperfect, we're working on it, just as I'm out working on getting rid of the death penalty. My being an advocate for repeal of the death penalty is not a broad indictment of our criminal justice system.
All right. Thank you very much for being here tonight. Again, we're speaking with Frank Thompson, retired superintendent of Oregon State Penitentiary and a longtime corrections and criminal justice professional. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO FM 90.7 here in the Portland, Oregon area. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, saying thank you very much for tuning in. If you're interested in listening to this and past shows, log on to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. If you like us on Facebook, and be sure to tune in next week to hear one of our new co-hosts, Adam Carpinelli. And he will be hosting an excellent new show. Again, happy holidays, happy new year, and good night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
And it is 6:59 p.m. Monday, January 6, 2014. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and coming up next, it is Hard Knock Radio, so stay tuned.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio and the North Portland Neighborhood Library is proud to sponsor the Jefferson High School 13th Annual Multicultural Film Festival. On January 14th, the documentary The House I Live In explores the risks that prohibition poses to freedom and the tragedy of addicts being treated as criminals. Meanwhile, the prisons of America are growing overcrowded with nonviolent criminals and illegal drugs are still being sold in schoolyards. This film is being shown on January 14th at the North Portland Neighborhood Library off of Killingsworth Street at 6 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition. It is Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we take a trip to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to find out what's happening behind the scenes outside of the big football game that took place yesterday. How are poor people faring with all this cold? Later on, we take a trip down to San Jose State to find out what is going on with respect to the hate crime that now sees its first day in trial. All that and more coming up after the afternoon headlines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's really going on? This is Boost from the Coup with Hard Knock Radio. You gotta be there.
What up, y'all? It's Aya Sage, a.k.a. Rocky Rivera, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop.